Welcome to Sideways Boulevard, where three Kansas City horror authors get together and talk about the weird stuff that they love to find on the interwebs and all around in this world. I'm Mark L. Groves, Shelby Dollar, and J.E. Peterson were not able to join me for this one because I recorded these podcasts live at the KC Spirit and Paranormal Convention in Kansas City in mid-March. Not only did I get to sell books, which you can find, by the way, on Amazon.com, just look up Magnificent Cowlick Media, plug, 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 thank you. I also had the opportunity to interview a number of the vendors that were out there. And by vendors, I mean people presenting. So I got to talk to a couple of mediums. I talked to a gentleman who wrote some books about Bigfoot. Talked to another gentleman who gets together with a group of people and contacts aliens through astral projection and more. So much fun. So good. And many, many thanks to KC Spirit and Paranormal Convention, and specifically April and Bettina, who made all of this possible. Y'all rock. Anyway, let's get into it. Here is the second of three podcasts recorded live at the KC Spirit and Paranormal Convention with Sideways Boulevard.
I have had so much fun going around. I'm so sorry that J.E. and Shelby couldn't join me for this, because it is there's so many fun people to talk to and so many fascinating things to cover. And one of the things, if you heard on the podcast before when we interviewed April and Bettina, Bettina is an Akashic reader, one of Bettina's contemporaries, and probably a person who really, it's my understanding, really helped her grow in her abilities and understand more about Akashic reading, is Grace Lindsay. Grace is from AkashicGrace.com, and Grace is an Akashic reader. Welcome to Sideways Boulevard, Grace.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
Let's talk a little bit about Akashic reading. What is it, and what is its function with somebody who comes for one of these?
Well, first, let me tell you what the Akashic record is, and then I can talk about what an Akashic reading is.
Yes.
The Akashic record is the record of the journey of every soul who walks on this earth. It's an energy field, basically, that is made of highly sensitive or highly high vibrational energy. So it's very sensitive, and it acts as a library or a record of every soul's intentions on this earth, as well as every person's actions and deeds and thoughts. And so it's a really valuable resource to ask what I call those big ticket questions. If you've ever wanted to ask your soul, what in the world were you thinking that I was born into this family, or I married that person, or I lost that job? That is where an Akashic record reading comes in. It's an intuitive reading or a spiritual reading, but I like to say that I use my intuition to access the Akashic records through a prayer. But then once I'm in a person's Akashic records, I feel I have access to so much more than my intuition alone would ever know, because I'm in the realm of their soul. So I'm able to answer questions from the perspective of the soul, both about why a person's here on earth, what's the purpose of this incarnation, or what are they wanting to explore, as well as to answer, like I said, those big ticket questions about why certain things happened in life, or what was the intention behind something in childhood or a born into a specific family.
That's a lot to unload all at once. That's amazing. So how did you figure out that you first had this kind of access? I mean, what was that trigger moment that's like, there's something going on here?
I'm sure I've been on my spiritual path my whole life, but especially as I got to be a teenager and young adult, I just started trying out a lot of different spiritual modalities, from astrology to resonance repatterning to all kinds of things like that. So many of them are offered here at this fair this weekend.
Yes.
And I was just always looking for that one thing that called me. And all of these other modalities were interesting to me, but they just didn't zing me until a little over 20 years ago, I took my first class, beginning class in how to work in the Akashic Records. And I just so felt like, oh my gosh, I think this might be it. It just so resonated with me. And then the proof was in the pudding. Would I keep it up and keep doing it? And I couldn't wait to get in the records each time. So that's for sure a sign. For me, you know, there are so many good readers at every fair, that have great guides and great psychic abilities. And for me, my joy is being in a person's Akashic records, because it's so much more than my own intuition, as I said a moment ago. I just feel like I certainly can't read people's thoughts or read their minds,
right.
But when a person asks a question, or sometimes when they don't ask a question, I just hear spontaneously just amazing information, and it's always delivered with so much love, because there is so much love for each of us humans. It's delivered without judgment. I know I'm accessing information at a much higher level, a much higher dimension,
right,
where there is only love and light and so much respect for us as souls being in these human bodies, going through this human existence, that is such a joy for me to be in a person's Akashic Records. So it's for sure my passion, as well as my modality.
And it sounds so much better than a master's degree. Three semesters, and I'm like, I'm done. And look at you with all this energy and this bright hope for people.
Well, you can see it lights me up.
Absolutely. So what we're going to do here is... Grace has agreed to give me an Akashic reading. I have never had one of these before. Grace and I have never talked until yesterday. And basically it was to say, oh, hi, this is Grace. And Bettina hooked us up and said, you know, maybe you can talk to Grace on your podcast about an Akashic reading. And that was it. We haven't had any other chats or discussions, so Grace knows zero about me other than that I drink too much coffee.
I didn't even know that. But that's the best kind of reading, when I know nothing about you, and I can say things, hopefully, that really resonate with you.
Yeah,
it's truth.
Well, I've been, we had the one on the show with Buck that was amazing. And then I had Joe that I talked to yesterday here at the convention, and she was just like nailing it. And I'm excited. I'm looking actually very forward to this, and hopefully my records won't be too icky for you to dance through. So
not at all. It's always a beautiful experience. And again, I can't read your mind, but I certainly look forward to seeing what the records bring forward.
So how does this move forward? When somebody comes for an Akashic record, like what we're about to do right now, what is the process?
Great question. Most people these days, myself included, open access the Akashic Records through a prayer. There are several good prayers out there in the world, so to speak, and I use one that I'm going to go into the silence to actually open your records. I've already asked for your full legal name, because it's the same prayer I use for everyone, but I make it very specific to you and your records only by using your full legal name. So I'll be in the silence for about a minute, and then I'll say the records are now open, and then we'll start either by you asking a question, if you have a burning question that you'd love to know, or I'll just tell you what is coming through in that moment.
Let's go with what's coming through at the moment.
Sure.
I would love to see what's cooking in my record cases and go from there. So terrific. The prayer opens the records, and then we'll go from there. And I will probably, since I can do this, I'll edit out the silence and we'll go there. But usually there's around a minute or so. So let's do this.
All right, Mark, the records are now open. I finished with a prayer. So let's begin by...
Yes.
I usually get an impression of a person when I'm in the silence of the prayer, and I certainly have with you as well. And that's always a great sign to me that I'm wading into the energy of another person's Akashic Records. And because every person is different, certainly that impression that I get in the beginning is different for every single person. Sometimes it's a glimpse of a past life, and if it is, it's always pointing towards something in this life.
Right.
For you, I didn't get a past life glimpse, but this is so interesting. I grew up in Central Florida, which used to be the home of many, many orange groves.
Yes.
And as soon as I started saying your name, I started seeing these orange groves. So, of course, your last name is Groves. And I immediately asked, is this just word association, or why am I seeing orange groves? And I immediately heard, in my mind's ear, so to speak, a big role of yours from a soul perspective is to be a big communicator in this lifetime. So no surprise that you found your way to radio and podcast and echoing out. So then what I could see was your message going out over the airwaves, not only through radio, but just in general, metaphorically going out over the airwaves as you speak, out over just acres and acres and acres of orange groves. And that was the connection. So, and it took me back to my childhood, because I can remember before so much development in Central Florida that sadly took away a lot of orange groves.
Yes, it did.
You used to be able to take drives and just see acres and acres. So anyway, that was a lovely connection for me to see that. And so I just said, okay, and is there anything else to know about this whole groves connection, orange groves? And what they showed me was... all the beautiful oranges, the orange fruit on each of these trees. It's like I could see all the groves from a high level from the forest view, and yet I could see the oranges on the trees individually, the trees of the forest at the same time, so it was quite beautiful. And it was the whole analogy of when your voice, when your message goes out over the airways, you are fertilizing or watering or the fruit, namely the oranges on the trees, and they will bear fruit. And so that's sometimes what I see is, you know, quite direct and not metaphorical, but this is a very metaphorical phrase. Right. And it's just beautiful because not only are you a communicator, but you're a communicator who is really helping to bear fruit, if that makes sense. You're not just putting out, I'm laughing because I'm hearing, you're not just like some talk show people who just put out a lot of stuff over the airwaves. What you say and what you facilitate information-wise is really bearing fruit. And in as much as oranges are beautiful and sweet fruit, that's just all the sweeter, all the nicer. So that's a lovely, although very, you know, metaphorical, it's a lovely thing to be said about you, I think, in the Akashic Records, that they really recognize that about you.
Oh, nice. Nice. What's kind of funny about that is the connection. I am switching careers 2 weeks from this recording into a more web-based career, communications career, doing full-time writing. But a bigger part of, you know, I do my podcast because I love them. And I do, I've spent 35 years in radio, and the last 30 or so have all been in commercial production.
Oh my goodness.
So a number of my communications have borne fruit for my clientele. So I find that both wonderful in the idea of sharing with people like we're doing right here. And then the other, what other things have come up? Have other things boiled up from my Akashic Records? For things that I should know.
When you talked about moving out of your current phase of your life as well as phase of your career and into a more writing-based, you said?
Yes.
That just felt like a really a good move, so that's why I was going to share that confirmation.
That's good to hear.
But, I mean, you're already on that trajectory anyway, so it's just validation or confirmation. But what I was especially hearing was them emphasizing the very first thing I heard in the silence of the prayer is that you came here in this lifetime to be a big communicator. And of course, communication has many different forms, verbal and written and so forth. And so it feels like right timing, perfect timing, but also a very natural thing for you to move from primarily one form of communication into really emphasizing writing or a different form of communication.
Right.
And I really trust that that's going to bear fruit as well. And whether that is more commercial applications, as you have been doing, or more you're speaking to people at a more personal level, yeah. I just really sense, I'm hearing the phrase, you have a golden touch. And, or a golden voice is probably better. A golden touch, meaning the things that you touched are successful and they do bear fruit. That's the golden touch. But you also have definitely a golden voice.
And thank you.
What a blessing for the listeners, but also what a blessing to put out kind of gold-touched energy or vibrations out into the airwaves. And that's what I'm seeing. The radio audience can't see my hand, but I'm
I didn't even think about that. I'm listening to you so intently. Yeah, her hand's kind of moving in a sine wave kind of radio.
Exactly. It's because that's what I'm seeing in my mind's eye, literally as if golden sine wave vibrations are coming from your voice, but also coming from your being. So meaning that you're a communicator in ways other than your voice, in addition to your voice. And I literally see these sine waves as golden. And so that's why I heard you have a golden touch, but also a golden voice. And, you know, that's a lovely thing to put out into the airwaves, first of all, because it can be healing. And even at a higher level of healing, it's just very reassuring, very soothing. That's the word I'm looking for, very soothing and touching. And so I've never even heard a podcast of yours, so I say this based on the authority of the
Akashic
Records.
Way to bring in that sucker punch.
Yeah, exactly. So if you ever, I trust that somebody
I'm so
won't,
kidding.
You,
that's too
you
funny.
Can't pull a podcast out that you like proves that wrong. But no, truly, that's what I feel in the Akashic Records, and that's actually the joy of doing a record reading for someone that I don't know at all.
Right.
To say things that sometimes I feel like I'm going out on a limb, like, because I don't know the person, and yet when they say, oh my goodness, that's exactly me, or that so resonates.
So is there anything that bubbles up that I should worry about, or something that's like, okay, Mark, you need to work on this? Anything within there that's like, okay, here's a place for improvement?
That's a good question, and I'm just closing my eyes and tuning in, and honestly, I don't feel anything. Certainly, I don't think your guides, and that's whom I'm referring to when I say they, your Akashic guides, I don't think they would ever say, Mark, you need to worry about this. although certainly you can ask serious questions and get what I call pithy answers or really deep answers. But in this case, what I'm feeling is just that very high vibe, again, those golden sine waves going out. So that doesn't mean, happily ever after necessarily.
Right.
We all have bumps and starts, but to answer that specific question, I don't feel there's anything for you to, quote unquote, worry about. More what I feel their focus is just know the goodness of fit of this next phase of your career. So not just this next job, so to speak, but this next phase of your career.
Right.
And when I say goodness of fit, you have been guided by your soul all along, not as a robot, because it's absolutely a partnership and a dance, so to speak, between the human mind, the human consciousness, and the soul. So it's not that your soul is just moving you like a pawn, on the chess game of life, but your human consciousness has been collaborating with, cooperating with, being willing to be moved or to move as well as be moved by the soul across the dance floor of life, and that's what I mean by goodness of fit. You're already moving into the next phase of your career as being guided by your soul, and your human consciousness is very open to receiving that. Though sometimes it comes as nudges, sometimes it comes as opportunities like a new job offer. So I just want to say your human consciousness is not fighting against or resisting or dragging your heels against your soul. That's what I'm trying to say, which is a great thing. More power to you, because that is a much more powerful position to be in.
The interesting thing about that you just talked about, the connection, is that like radio, I fell into it. I was waiting tables at a Pizza Hut going to college, having no frickin' clue what I was going to do. It was my second year in college, because my first year I was in engineering. All my friends went in engineering. I had uncles that were engineers. My big brother was an engineer. And I'm like, this is what you do to have a firm foundation for your family. Burger, burger, burger. Because I had no freaking idea what I was going to do. And that was such a fail. I'd never touched a computer, and here I am trying to write Fortran on these punch cards. It was a nightmare.
Wow.
But after that, I went stumbling through college, and it was waiting tables. These three people came in, and I had no idea who they were, but I was just myself, and that's when they had asked, do you ever thought about being in radio, or what are you doing? I go to Mizzou, and I'm a college student. Really? Well, you ever thought about being in radio? No, I'm thinking about being a talking head on TV. And they're like, well, I'm the PD, and this is the afternoon drive guy, and here's Shelly, the news lady, and I backpedaled like there was no tomorrow. Well, I've never been in a radio station, which really in memory is not quite totally true, but I was like, I don't know anything about it. So they brought me in, and that's where I got my first part-time job as a weekend DJ. And then it turned into a lifelong career, occasionally a love-hate relationship, but overall a wonderful, wonderful experience in my life that I'm getting ready to mostly step out of.
Mm.
So you just described it.
Well, first of all, that's awesome. And it is certainly the case that something can feel so right for a phase of your life, and then you somehow know when you're done and it's time to move on. And that's exactly where you are.
Everything gelled.
In your life, which is why I heard that phrase, a goodness of fit. It's you're already following your soul's guidance. Maybe you realize it, maybe you don't.
Sometimes no clue. People, I just felt like I'm like, go forward, figure it out.
The goodness of fit is not only the goodness of fit of moving into this next phase of your career, which is out of radio and into the next form of communication that you're doing, but it's also a goodness of fit related to you at the human consciousness level what I'll call cooperating with your soul or listening to the nudges, even if you don't feel them as a voice in your ear, even if you just feel it as, here's an open door, here's an open opportunity, yes, I'll step through, you're making it a lot easier for yourself to be successful because you're going with the flow of where your soul is wanting to flow you. And, you know, you often hear this phrase, we live on a free will planet, and that's true. And part of that free will is that our human conscious has free will to, quote unquote, cooperate or not cooperate with the soul. It has free will to go with the flow of the soul or to say, no, I don't want to do that, or I'm going to stay in engineering because that's how I can make a living and I'll have always a good, steady paycheck. And
right.
You have, I mean, everyone has a choice to hear and feel those nudges and listen to them or not. And sometimes it's really easy not to, not because, you know, we don't want to, but because either it was a still small voice that we ignored or the nudge just wasn't strong enough. And so when I say, or when they say you have a goodness of fit, they really want to emphasize for you whether or not you recognize in the moment, oh, my soul is talking to me. We usually don't recognize that, but you're willing at the level of human consciousness to be the dance partner and allow your soul to be the fellow dance partner guiding you across the floor of the dance floor of life. That's how it's coming to me right now to describe it to you.
That makes sense.
Which just makes me happy for you because that means you don't have a lot of drag or resistance.
Yeah.
One other thing I'll say is that the Akashic Record is a record of past lives, of the soul's journey on this earth, as well as current life, as well as future potentialities. It doesn't predict the future.
Right.
Precisely because of this free will element that everybody has the dynamic ability to make choices in the moment that change things. But your soul is still guiding you through all that or navigating you through all that. But in any case, it's interesting that no past life snippet or glimpse came up when I was opening your records or as I'm talking to you. And sometimes it does. Sometimes the whole reading is very much about a past life. But what I know is that most of us who are walking on this earth have had many, many past lives. And if only one or two past lives come to me when I open a person's Akashic Records, it's because those past lives have some bearing on this current life. And the fact that I haven't seen a past life for you just tells me it's all about the focus that your Akashic guides want to focus on right now is not only your current life, but your current moment in this life, because they've really been talking about your transition from how you've been this great communicator going out over the airwaves and the orange grove, so to speak, to moving into this next phase of your life. And I think they also mean it as a reassurance in terms of this goodness of fit that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. If you hit roadblocks as you get into this new job, or if you get into the new job and think, oh, this is not what I thought, I feel like they're reassuring you that it there's a goodness of fit there. And
yeah.
So stay the course just to see the wheel or the cycle come around to help you really see that goodness of fit. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense, and I really like the fact that I don't have to wear brown polyester to be able to hear.
Point well taken.
It was an ugly time at the Pizza Hut. God bless you, Pizza Hut, but oh, dang.
Glad you moved on from that.
And amen. Well, this is the type of thing. Now, normally, Grace does longer readings, but if you stop by today, or if you go to AkashicGrace.com, that's AkashicGrace.com. Grace, thank you so much for being willing to come by, especially we're here tucked into this wonderful hallway and there's people walking by, and you know, you have an amazing ability to focus. So well done you.
Thank you.
And I so appreciate your coming by to talk to us today on Sideways Boulevard.
Thank you. It's been my great pleasure and honor.
Sharing the fun of the KC Spirit and Paranormal Convention. Lots and lots of people out here, including podcasters like me, and also like these two gentlemen joining me right now. If you've been on, where would be the favorite place to be able to find your podcast?
Probably on Apple or iTunes. It's pretty much everywhere. Stitcher, anywhere you catch podcasts, you just search up Hollow Sky and it is there.
Look up the Hollow Sky podcast, Holosky, Hollow Sky podcast. And with me are Steve and Kyle from the Hollow Sky podcast. And Steve and Kyle, Hollow Sky, Hollow Sky, Hollow Sky, Holosky.
Whatever you want to call it.
You know, when they first came over, full disclosure, they come over and I'm like, this is just the coolest logo. I love your card. I love everything about it. Is it Holosky or Holosky? And they're like, it's Holosky. And they were kind enough to say, you're not the first person to say Holosky. And I'm like, you are so tired of that, aren't you? I totally get it. But it is the coolest thing. Holosky, what are we talking about there?
Really, it's just more of a brainstorm. Because we were trying to figure out a name, and a name, like you were mentioning earlier, it's important, and it's one of the hardest things to come up with.
It really is, and especially one that's kind of original. One, you want to make sure it's yours, but then you do a Google search, and you're like, oh, crap. Oh, for fudge sake, how did somebody in Indonesia come up with this?
Yes.
Yeah, doggone it.
Absolutely.
So, but it works, especially with your podcast. Tell us, what is the content of your podcast? What is it that you guys are grooving on when you do an episode?
We cover everything paranormal. Alien abductions, UFO sightings, cryptid encounters, anything like haunted places, haunted experiences, the latest conspiracy theory. We have a little block of time etched out each show to have listener experiences featured. They'll call us in, leave us voicemails, they'll email us, and we'll break down their experience and talk about that.
Oh, nice. So there's also a lot of listener interaction, because you've talked to me for 5 minutes, and I'll blab on no matter. I will steamroll the hell out of anything. But you guys, you've got people calling in or leaving messages, etc., and then you get to share that. That is freaking awesome. With Holosky and the podcast experience, what has brought you to this? What is the backstory that made Steve and Kyle go, you know what, we really need to do this?
I think we've always been interested in the paranormal. We grew up watching shows like In Search Of and Unsolved Mysteries and stuff of that
X-Files.
Nature. X-Files.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
One of the greatest.
Team Scully right here, baby.
There you go.
Same.
Who knew she had a British accent? I had no idea. I'm just like, you're short, smart, and hot.
It's just a mystery in itself.
Amen.
But as we grew older, we started having experiences of our own. And you'd hear, we're from a small town in Illinois in the Midwest.
Okay, name it.
Jerseyville.
Name it, known it. Where the hell is Jerseyville?
That's what everybody says.
Love
when
it.
Say Jerseyville.
Amen.
But you hear through the grapevine, and you hear people having paranormal experiences, but it's still super taboo to talk about. Like you say you saw a UFO or you abducted, and people are like, you are crazy.
Yeah.
You know? And we just kind of wanted to give people a space to come and be able to talk about it and not be ridiculed, you know, come with their unexplained experiences and not have to worry about being labeled as out of their mind.
Now, Kyle, was it pretty much the same story for you?
Yeah, and my personal experiences they started when I was young. And from that, you know, I had my first encounter with what I would consider the ETs. And then from there, I know Steve did the same thing. You go to the school library, start checking out books, and you just start diving more and more. And then me and Steve became friends later on in life. And we've always been able to carry a conversation on extremely well. And we were always talking about the weird stuff out there.
Nice. So you're those two guys in the back of the classroom in seventh grade that they're all like, what's up with them?
Yeah.
Dude, did you? And Scully. So, yep. All right. So you've got this shared core interest. We're going to have to tap on it. You're going to have to share. And Steve, let's start with you. That first experience, that was your personal one.
My experience, I don't have a whole lot of experiences personally, but my son, I have a 12-year-old son, and he has been experiencing things since he was super young. And as a father, when it comes to something supernatural, like you don't know how to explain that to them. You don't know how to defend them from it. So that kind of drove me into looking into the world even more than when I was interested as a kid. Because as a kid, I was just like, oh, you know, there's a 800-pound ape tromping through the forest. Like, I'm in there. Like, I got to know if this is real. But when my son started experiencing things, that kind of changed it for me.
Right.
We live in a house, and right across the street is a graveyard. So you're just asking for it, you know. I was carrying him inside one day. He was about 3 or 4 years old. And as I was carrying him in, he just lost his mind out of fear. Said he saw these green beings in the graveyard. I got him inside. He made me lock the door, wouldn't let me go back out. It was just like, he was just absolute terror.
Oh my gosh.
Not long after that, he wakes me up in the middle of the night. And I'm like, what's going on, buddy? And he goes, don't let them take me. I'm like, who take you? In my mind, I'm like, somebody's in the house.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Defense mode.
Yeah. And he's like, don't let them take me. I'm like, who? And he goes, the green men. And I'm like, all right. I'm like, well, they're not going to take you first off. And he's like, they've taken me before. And I'm like, no, they haven't. And I'm like, when they take you, where do they go? Where do you go? And he goes, where the bad Power Rangers are.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, I'm not familiar with the Power Rangers. I'm a little bit out of that age group, but I'm like, where's that? And he goes, on a spaceship. And I'm like, oh man, don't let this be happening right now, you know? And it's so weird that like his little 4-year-old brain is trying to make sense of what's happening to him. And he correlates it with Power Rangers, you know,
yeah.
just trying to put it together.
Yeah.
And as he's gotten a little bit older, it's kind of gotten better. I don't know if he's suppressing it or what the deal is, but there for a while, it was just like when your kid comes to you and it's like telling you that he's being taken out of your house, like it is the most powerless feeling that I have ever had. Like,
I cannot imagine.
It was awful.
Well, you know what? I got to give you a golf clap for the side dig, Steve, saying, yeah, you know, Power Rangers are, you know, out of my age group. And I would know. And I'm over here like, I know what the hell that kid's talking about. Oh, crap.
I was more Ninja Turtles guy.
Well played, Steve. Well played. All right. So, Kyle, you had an experience of some sort. And by the way, Steve, that's an amazing story. And kudos to you for being the supportive type of parent to listen and to not react in some negative way to make them clam it up, but rather to support and then to investigate. So kudos. And Kyle, your story.
It happened to me when I was probably in third to fourth grade, and I can remember I was asleep and I heard a flutter at the window. It almost sounded like a bird had taken off from the window.
Right.
So it woke me up. I was looking at the window. And then I my head pans to the right where the bedroom or the door to the hallway would be. But on the way there, my eyes crossed my desk, and then there was probably a foot gap in between my desk and my dresser.
Right.
And in between that gap, it was pitch black, but I could see two almond eyes.
Oh, dude.
Looking back at me.
Oh, this story sucks.
Just gives me goosebumps every time he tells
and
me.
And the interesting thing to it was that it wasn't glassy eyes. I'm sure you know in the Power Ranger reference, you remember Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega.
Sure.
You remember the style of graphics, how they're kind of pixelated?
Yeah.
That was the eyes. They were pixelated, almost like, because you hear a lot in alien abductions or encounters, they use what they call screen memories. And it's where these beings are capable of mimicking something that is familiar with to you to right. make you more comfortable. And then I was so scared that I put the covers over my head and I started praying. And then I kind of calmed myself down and I said, okay, if it's there, when I pull the covers back, I'm going to beeline for mom and dad's room.
Hell yeah.
And then I put the covers back down and it was gone. And next thing I remember is it's morning time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know what? The alien, if they do that with me, they're going to look like an oatmeal scotchy. Because I would welcome that into my house. It could, if a Dracula dressed as an oatmeal scotchy, come on in. Come on. Yeah, you're welcome. God, that's... And so there was this loss of time.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Dude.
It's just...
Now, you didn't end up with any you know, like little scars or anything
not
after that?
Not that I was that aware of. Later okay. on in life, yeah, but...
Oh, hell bells.
But, yeah.
Wow, and all of this stuff is, these are stories that you, one, relate on your podcast, the Holo Sky podcast, and you have people that share these kind of stories.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell me, what are each of you, your the hairiest, most, oh my God, wow story that you heard that was brought into you for the podcast, whether it was from a guest or whether it was a phone call, one of the emails, just the one that just pops first up in your head that goes, you know what, I really remember this one. This one glued to me.
We haven't actually got the full story yet.
Yeah, that's the same.
But We did have a guy call in or email us, said his best, one of his friends was, had his car T-boned by a UFO.
What?
So that clearly caught our attention. So we are chasing the story down of this extraterrestrial collision. We're hoping we find all the information on it, but that just, like, I have to know what better headline is there than I got T-boned by a UFO.
Well, now that I think about it, another one that catches my mind, and I've been trying to get a hold of this guy forever now, but we get an email one day, and the subject line is "Monsters are real." And I thought maybe somebody was trying to pitch a book something like that. So I start reading through it, and my jaw drops to the floor, and I instantly text Steve. I'm like, dude, you have to read this email. Because it's short and subtle, and he leaves everything out, but it's enough to draw you in. And you can tell the person is older because he mentions being in the war or being in the military because he says my service orders basically say monsters are real. And he goes on to loosely cover how he was in the military and they started to mess around with the idea of quote-unquote monsters. But he doesn't tell you anything, doesn't give you any details. But the ending is what gets me the most because he goes, you know what? I don't have much service out here, so I have to walk to town to do this. Maybe you'll get this email. Maybe it's best if you don't. I'm sure you have enough stories anyways. And then that was the end of the email.
You and I'm son like, of a bitch, on. You hooked me.
Yeah, I instantly emailed him back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And told him exactly that. I'm like, dude, hook, line, and sinker. I'm all in.
We are in.
Let's go.
Oh, wow. See, and that's one of the cool things about podcasting and being able to share stories with people and just let them talk. Just be together in that moment. And it does, also one of the cool things, it doesn't mean that you have to absolutely agree with everything they're saying.
100%.
But to let them talk, and especially when you have a chance to speak with somebody and hear their voices directly, a lot of times you can really feel the sincerity. Am I wrong?
Yeah, you know, you're 100% correct. You don't have to believe everything to keep an open mind.
Exactly.
That's where I stand with
Bingo.
That.
I'm looking at your website right now, holoskypodcast.com.
Oh, yeah.
And hang out with us as we navigate through the world of the strange and unusual. We chat about everything from ghosts, aliens, and cryptids. Yes! There's a cat just down the aisle from you with a couple of books. I'm trying to grab him because the guy's super busy, but he's got the Bigfoot books.
Oh,
and he's awesome. Got the Bigfoot print from around
awesome.
Kansas City. What the hell? I'm in, dude.
Yeah. I just sat in on his speech.
It?
Excellent.
Oh.
Excellent. I loved it.
And super nice dude. Super nice dude. But you've got all that going to the most mind-bending government conspiracies. We dive headfirst down the rabbit hole each week. And you do a weekly podcast?
Yeah.
I'm so damn lazy. Kudos to you guys for keeping and being continuous about it. Different topics and listener submissions. Strap in, hang on, crack open a monster. Let's get weird. I love it. And that's page one. That's the landing page. And then you can go on and iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, Holosky Podcast, HOLOSKY Podcast. And, you know, your hosts, Steve and Kyle, how would people send you a message to say, hey, I've got a story?
Oh, if you search us up on any social medias, we are there. Just search up Holosky Podcast. Shoot us a message. We're on there all the time. Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, even TikTok now, since that's the big thing. We also have an email address, holoskypodcast@gmail.com. Just shoot us a message. And
they will appreciate during your interview that if 15 minutes later after you've been talking with them, you actually call it Holosky Podcast instead of Holosky. But they're very nice, and they won't constantly correct you until you get your ass right. So I really I appreciate you guys coming over and taking the time to talk with me because I know that, you know, we're just jamming here today.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's so many cool people to have discussions with. And when I saw your I snuck in. Actually, you were already there was somebody else at your table, and I'm like, I'm all sneaking sideways and be all ninja about this, and there's nothing ninja about me. And the lady was like, oh, hey, boo. which made me laugh, but I did get your card. And then you were kind enough to come down to talk with me. So, Steve and Kyle, thank you so much. I love what you're doing, and I look forward to talking to you maybe again here on Sideways Boulevard.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. It's
been
excellent.
Thanks for having us.
Again, many thanks to April and Bettina from KC Spirit and Paranormal for allowing us to be there to sell books and to talk to cool people about cool stuff. Had such a great time. KC Spirit and Paranormal will be having an event in Branson, Missouri, and also another event in fall in Kansas City. They're just going to keep on rocking and rolling, so keep an eye on their Facebook page. That's KC Spirit and Paranormal. And thank you for listening to Sideways Boulevard. We're three Kansas City horror authors who love to get together and research and talk about some really unique stuff. Be sure to check out our Facebook page, look us up on Twitter, and at some point, I promise, I'll get a website going. I've just really sucked at it so far. So thank you for listening. We'll see you next time here on Sideways Boulevard. According to Ozark legend, someone who's been cursed by witchcraft can leave a black button lying on the road. If you should pick it up, you'll get more than you bargained for. You see, if you take the button, you also take the curse. Welcome to the Black Buttons Dark Fiction Anthology Series, published by Magnificent Cowlick Media and available on Amazon.com. All stories involve the tone and the terror of the Midwest. Turn the page in Black Buttons and discover that all is not right where the Bible Belt buckles. Black Buttons, Volume 1, Volume 2, and Volume 3, available now on Amazon.com. Go ahead, if you dare. Pick up Black Buttons, because you're not afraid of some old superstition, are you?
Are you?